The first kina that we start with every year is the first kina in the kinos of the morning, kina vav. Shava suru meni shimuni ochrai. This is one of the kinos that is from Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, and it is stylistically incredibly brilliant and complicated. It's interweaving words from various chapters in Eicha, depending on if you have almost any of the various contemporary kinos books. So you can see in the various footnotes or in the parentheses, quote, you know, you see which words and which part of Eicha they're coming from. And the opening sentence really says it all. Shava surameni shimuni ochrai. Our joy, in essence, ceased. All of our detractors, our enemies, you know, told us, get away from us. You know, ich, a Jew, get away from us. Schiu maos simuni be'edri chaverai. They called us dirty. We were repulsive. We were hated by everyone. We were on the lowest of the low. Later on in the kina, very important refrain, karasi lemahavai hema rimuni. We thought we had built alliances. We thought we had allies. In our darkest time, in our weakest moments, we called out to the people we thought were our friends, our allies, the people we thought we could count on. And they betrayed me. They fooled me. And in a very, very painful way, we realized that in this world and in Golos, the Jew has no one to rely on but ourselves and, of course, but Avinu Shebashamayim. We mention every year the insight and the approach of Rav Soloveitchik, who saw in this kina a paradigm for what he thought went through many of the kinos, and that is the idea that the various descriptions of the Churban were not only true and accurate descriptions of the Churban itself, but also paradigms for what the Jews experienced throughout the generations, throughout the centuries, and throughout the Golos. Because, as was Rav Soloveitchik and many others' approach, Tisha B'Av is a day not only to mourn the Churban, but through the Churban to mourn all of the other sorrows that have afflicted the Jewish people since that tragic time in history. That in essence, every sorrow that we've had since then is really in some way connected, in some way a byproduct of the Churban. A number of years ago, I had heard a recording and I shared with you the expression making this same point in Yiddish from Rav Asher Weiss, who pointed out, Ali Yiddish Tzaris, Zenin Ein Greis Tzara. It's all one big Tzara. This is the premise of the Rav, and whenever he would, apparently every year when they would say this Kina, he specifically focused on the lines that we've highlighted to talk about not only the degradation the Jewish people had in the time of the Churban, but the degradation throughout history, and even he was speaking in his own day, in his own lived experience in memory, how the Jews were abandoned by all the quote-unquote enlightened people, all their colleagues and contemporaries during the Holocaust. People were co-workers, they were professors in the same university. One minute they're best friends, and they thought the next minute the Jews can't get into the university, people having their lives ruined, and people who we thought were our friends betrayed us. The Rav talked about the UN, and the various world governments and supposed NGOs and all sorts of other people who supposedly have our back, but of course we know time and time again, they've betrayed us. So that's one important point to keep in mind with this kina. A second one is from the opening word, shavas. Shavas has different implications, but one of which that the Rav himself emphasized is it doesn't just mean that something stopped, but that something ended. That there was a life that they used to have, which was now completely over. They used to have a life that was based HaMikdash-centric. Even if you didn't live in Yerushalayim, even if you weren't a Kohen or a Levi, but every Jew, at least three times a year, made Aliyah LeRegel, made a pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, to Har HaBayis, and this was the central focus of one's entire religious experience, of the entire Jewish life. And that was Shavas. It all ended. Everything they knew had come to an end. Can we imagine? The closest thing we came to on a religious level, we spoke about this not long ago, was during Corona, that year when all the shuls were closed. Our whole lives have revolved around shul and yeshivas and school, and then it was taken away from us. And unfortunately, as someone who's not only a parent, but also an educator in yeshiva, we're still feeling the reverberations of, you know, whatever neighborhood, whatever school you were in, it was at least a few months, And in some cases, it was longer than that, where people were really out of school, and the educational deficit is the least of the problems in many of the cases. So imagine you're living in a Beis HaMikdash-centric life, and it's all gone. Take a look at source number 3. We have a very, very Kabbalistic, difficult source, but we'll try to understand it at least a little bit that we can on our level. This comes from the Likutim, the notes of the Gra, on the one of the most Kabbalistic, mystical, and therefore completely unintelligible to somebody like me, books that we have in our tradition, the Sifra Ditzinyusa. I'm not even going to try to explain what that book is. I don't know anything about it, and I could not understand it. But the Likutim of the Gra, which are also impossible, but there's one, Oz Tes, in which he makes the following point, source number 3. And he basically points out that there was a progression in stages of the degrading of the Jewish people, the degradation of the Jewish people in the time of the Churban. Meis Shecharav Habayis Yatza Ruchenu Ateres Roshenu V'Nish'arnu Rak Anachnu Hu Guf Shela B'lo Nefesh. It's already a powerful metaphor. But this, he says, is only the first stage. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, what did we lose? We didn't just lose bricks and mortar. We didn't just lose a place to bring karbonos, to hear a good choir. The Jewish people as a collective lost their soul. We basically became like zombies. We were bodies without a soul. The walking dead. Now that's bad enough if you think about it. But he continues that there was a second stage. Because the Churban wasn't just a Churban. There was also Golus. We were sent out of our land. We lost our autonomy. And we became beholden and victims of the non-Jewish world at large, which mostly was very, very unwelcoming. Says the Gra, over time in Golus, what happened in Chutz Laretz? Then Golus was, as we've recently certainly come to experience in the last 70 plus years, pretty much, and of course the Gra, when he talks about Golus, is talking about Europe, right? Europe is one big graveyard for the Jews. That's a line you hear in our generation. The Gra already said it. Yitzia l'chutz laretz hu akever v'harima. Right? That the Jews were already rotting. Now what's the point, he says? Over time, we were no longer just a body without a soul. We lost our body, right? A body who gets buried. Over time, the body itself withers away. There's no longer a body. Says the Gra, stage 2 is when all of a sudden, all of the flesh was nirkav. There was no more basar. There was just atzamot. There were just bones. And those bones, over time, themselves became nifrazu, pizor, achar pizor. But at least, even though we had scattered bones, but at least the bones were kayamot. And who are these bones? Who is the skeletal structure that remained of the Jewish people? The Tamid Chachamim Shev Yisrael, the ones who maintained, who held us up, who kept us going, so to speak. But then came more time and more generations in the Gola, in Galut, and says the Gra, eventually even the bones withered away. Achenirkevu ha'atzamot, v'lo nishar ela, tarvad rekev me'itanu v'na'asa efar. All we had was basically a spoonful of ash. That's what left. First a body without a soul, then not even a body, just bones, and now we don't even have that. Ad kan the Gra. Not long ago, I picked up a sefer called Ohalei Halacha. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's a series of svarim that have been coming out krach by krach in paperback. I'm assuming that eventually they plan on putting it together into a more formal, beautiful svarim. These are the svarim being put out by the Talmidim of Hagon, Rav Yaakov Ariel Shlita, the Rav Rashi of Ramat Gan, one of the Gedolei Hador, and certainly one of the Gedolei Haposkim and Rabbanim in the religious Zionist community. And they are collecting all of his psakim on various parts of halacha, including with Mar Makomos, etc., etc. Beautiful. I think I have 3 volumes so far. As far as I'm aware, there are only 3 volumes. If you know I'm missing one, I'd appreciate you let me know. I'd appreciate it more if you gave it to me. But as far as I know, they've done 3 so far. And the 3rd one they just came out with is in Bein HaMetzarim. And even his students are Talmid HaChachamim. The students are people who are my age or older, I think. They're not young guys writing this. These are very serious people. It's a very serious project of Talmid HaChachamim. And in the introduction, so they quoted this Gra, and they explained, I'm not sure if it was their explanation or the Gra, or of Yaakov Ariel's, but it's a very, very, I think, compelling point, which is what's the Gra getting at? What's the message for us? And the point that they made, which I thought was so compelling and powerful and resonant, was that if you see a dead person, most of us have never had to do that, but if you would see a dead person somewhat shortly after that person died, you could basically reconstruct how they looked in their lifetime. Even if they're already somewhat withered and a little bit somewhat emaciated and lost some of their form. But even on your own, you could probably get a good impression, and certainly with technology now, they could reconstruct. However, what if all you saw were ashes in a crematorium? You don't know what you're looking at. It was a man, it was a woman, it was a child, it was an adult. He or she was skinny, they were overweight, they had dark skin, light skin. Ashes give you no indication. What's the Gra trying to tell us? Exactly, in very powerful metaphoric language, exactly what we're feeling at this moment, which is the Jew in Golus is so far removed from what we were when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we can't even reconstruct. We have no sense. If we had a picture of ourselves, we could kind of at least relate to it. You know, as I get older, you know, I see pictures. Used to be I would look at my pictures when I was a bar mitzvah boy and say, oh, how cute I was. Now I look at my own wedding pictures and go, that was pretty cute. I was a kid. I was a baby. As you get older, right? But I could still, I don't think I'm deluding myself. I still sort of look like that person, just an older version. More white hair, less hair, more weight, you know, all the usual middle-aged things. But I could still, you can reconstruct how the person in that wedding picture got to the person who looks like he is now. But if you're just looking at ashes, there's no reconstruction. There's nothing. We have no way to tap into what it was like in the basement. We're so far removed. It's as if we just have ashes. And that really is, we lament that, but of course that is our challenge. And I'll just add one final little mushal just before we actually start the kinos. And I heard this, I couldn't find it inside, even though I have some of the Sfarim, but I heard it quoted in the name of Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who was a very well-known American Rav who made Aliyah, was a Rav in Ofakim, died very tragically with his wife and one of his children in a car accident on an Erev Pesach almost 20 years ago, or about 20 years ago, more or less. And in one of his Svarim, I guess, that's, or maybe it's in a recording, but I heard this mashal in his name trying to make this exact point. He doesn't quote the Gra, but making this point. He said, imagine you were part of a town. Everyone was there. The older people, the middle-aged people, the little children, the babies. Nice, flourishing little town. Everyone's living a nice, good life. They went to sleep one night. They woke up the next morning. And there's no sun. Their whole lives they had a sun. Shemesh, the sun. And they wake up the next morning, there is no sun. It would be shocking. Their whole lives would be, I mean, you wouldn't know what's right from left. Your whole world is completely upside down. Not only you can't see, but everything. The sun setting, rising, the rhythm of life. Everything would be destroyed. It would be, I can't even imagine how horrible it would be in the beginning. But human beings are resilient. And over time, they would adapt, and they would figure out how to live in the dark. They would figure out how to light candles. They'd jerry-rig some kind of a system to function for the most part. Of course, the older people would remember that there used to be a tkufa, there used to be life with the sun. Ah, wasn't it better when we had the sun? And kids would hear their parents speaking about the good old days when there was a sun. And some people would say, who are now in their 20s, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I sort of have memories of what it was like to have a son. But eventually, over time, what would happen? The only people who would be alive would be people who were born who never even saw the sun. But they had heard, because they had passed down from their parents, generation after generation, that there used to be this thing called the sun. But by that point, they didn't even really mourn it, because they never had it. They just know that their parents and their grandparents and the Bubby and Zaddy would get in a bad mood every now and then. Say, oh, Nebuch, if I only had a son. What's a son? I don't know. My whole life is the life that I have now. That's us. That's us. The Gemara says, at the time of the Churban, there was a Chomash Shel Barzel separating us from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's separating us from the sun. We can't even see it. We don't know what we're missing. And that's we don't know what it was like to be that close, and therefore we can't truly, truly appreciate how far we are. And yet, in our kishkas, we know we're missing something. and we do feel distant. That's Shavas. And that's what we're trying to tap into a little bit today. Shavasuru Majuni.